Now, Torah, Pasha Shemois, is from Sefer Yeshaya, starts in Perek Chav Zayin, Apostle Vov, and continues into Perek Chav Ches, and then we skip, read some Sukkim from Perek Chav Tes. It begins with Yeshaya Anovi. Again, we're going to get back to a theme that we've encountered in many of the Haftarahs previously, which is the sins of Ephraim. Again, we're going to talk about Ephraim, but once again, when we talk about Ephraim, we're actually referring to the Aseres HaShvatim, the Ten Shvatim, the kingdom of the Ten Shvatim, which was in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, and they were exiled first. We discussed whether they'll come back or they won't come back. We discussed that in Parshas Vayigash. But because of their great sins, they were exiled before the Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin, who were in the southern kingdom. And it's a theme that comes up many times in the Navi and Yeshaya and other Nevi'im. They talk about the sins of Ephraim. But before Yeshayahu HaNovi gets to actually admonishing Ephraim, Yeshayahu HaNovi gives some encouragement. He talks about the time of the Geula, the time of the redemption. It starts, Haboim Yashrei Shiyakov Yotitz Uforach Yisrael. So the Mefarshim explain that the Pasuk is actually missing a word. That it says, Haboim, the coming. And the Mefarshim explained what it means is in the coming days, Yashresh Yaakov, Yaakov's roots will spread out. Yotitz Uforach Yisrael. Again, Yisrael and Yaakov, both names for the Jewish people. Yotitz Uforach, they'll bud and blossom. The Jewish people, they will expand and they will spread out throughout Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world. Umalu Fnei Sevel Tenuva. They will fill the face of the earth, Tenuva, like the fruits of the field. They'll fill the surface of the earth, they'll grow, they'll become numerous throughout the land. Next, in the next Pasuk in Pasuk Zayin, Yeshayahu Novi, the Mefarshim explain, is really continuing off the previous Pasuk. Earlier on, in Pasuk Dalid, Yeshayahu said to the Jewish people, on behalf of Hashem, a message from Hashem, Chemo Einli. Yeshayahu lays the message to the Jewish people that Chemo Einli, I don't have anger at the Jewish people. When it comes to the Jewish people, even if they sin, even if they do Averos, but Chemo Einli, Hashem says, I don't react towards them with anger. Others, as we'll see in the Psukim, other nations, when they hurt the Jewish people, when they do things bad to the Jewish people, so then Hashem reacts to them with anger, and He punishes them in a very very strong way. The Jewish people, on the other hand, Hashem said, Yeshayahu HaNovi relates to Jewish people, the message of Hashem, the Chemo Einli, that I don't have anger towards the Jewish people. Therefore, in Pasuk Zayin, Yeshayahu says, Hakemakas Makehu Hikohu. The root of all those three of those words, the same word of Hakov, to hit, to smite. And Hashem says, Hakemakas, it's a hey Hasha'ela, it's a question, it's a Hakemakas Makehu Hikohu, is it that like the way I hit those who hit the Jewish people, that I hit the Jewish people? Hakimakas, it means, is it like the smiting of Makehu, of those who hit the Jewish people, Hikahu, that I hit the Jewish people? In other words, did I hit the Jewish people in as bad a way, that I punish them in as bad a way as I punish those who hit them? Well, Hashem says, the people who hit the Jewish people, so I punish them greatly. Paroi Mitzrayim, Sancheirev, others who try to do bad to the Jewish people, Hashem says, them, I hit them very strongly. But when it comes to the Jewish people, did I hit the Jewish people in as bad a way as I hit those who hit them? Im Kehereg Harugav Hayrog, similar structure. And did I decimate the Jewish people in the same way that I decimated those who were decimated because of them? In other words, those who did bad to the Jewish people and were killed or were destroyed because of that, did I decimate the Jewish people in the same way that I decimated those who were decimated because they did bad to them? So Hashem, the basic message is, said in a very poetic way, but the message is, Hashem, Yeshayahu HaNovi, tells the Jewish people on behalf of Hashem, that Hashem does not punish the Jewish people with the same intensity, in the same way that he punishes those who do bad to the Jewish people. Now, just to mention quickly, it seems the connection of the Haftarah to the Parashah is that Rashi in Pasuk Vav explains Haboyim Yashreish Yaakov, not in the way we explained it now. He explains that Haboyim Yashreish Yaakov is referring to, Hashem says, remember what I did when Haboyim, those who came down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov, the Yashreish, they took root in Mitzrayim, Yotzitzu, Forach, Yisrael, that they expanded and they grew and they became very numerous in Mitzrayim. So despite the fact they came down with only 70 people, by the time they left Mitzrayim, it was 600,000 men. It was a very large nation. So Hashem refers back to that in Pasuk Vav, according to Rashi's interpretation, and perhaps that's the connection between the Haftorah and our parasha. And we continue in Pasuk Ches. B'sase'o b'shalicha tirivena hoga b'ruchoy hakosha b'yoyim kodim. Hashem again continuing to say that Hashem did not punish the Jewish people so extensively, not so harshly. He says b'sase'o, with its measure, or measure for measure, as we'll see in a minute, b'sase'o, in its measure, b'shalicha, in its fields and its gardens, tirivena. Hashem says riv means to fight. Hashem says that I contend against him. When Hashem says when I have to punish the Jewish people, first of all, I only punish them in the exact measure of the sins that they did. Not anything more than that, not with fury, not with anger. That might bring about a worse, more intense punishment. And also, b'shalicha, when I punish them, I don't punish them in their bodies necessarily. Hashem says at least I try to punish them. B'shalicha, the Mefarshim explain, means in their fields and in their gardens. Hashem says, first I destroy the crops, and not to destroy the Jewish people themselves. Hoga b'ruchoy hakosha b'yoyim kodim. So Hashem blows with his harsh wind b'yoyim kodim, on the day of the eastern wind. The eastern wind is from the harshest winds. So Hashem blows on with the east wind, a very harsh wind, to destroy the crops, to destroy the fields of the Jewish people, instead of damaging the Jewish people themselves. So Hashem says, through Yishayo, to the Jewish people, that words of encouragement, that first of all, in the future, days will come when the Jewish people will take root, their roots will spread, and they will flourish. And also Hashem says, you should remember, you should see, take note of the fact, of the way that I treat the Jewish people. The Jewish people should take note of the way I treat them, that I don't punish them in the same way that I punish the other nations, with the same anger, with the same fury. Rather, only measure, in the measure in which they sin, that's how I punish them. And even then, I don't punish them themselves in their body. Rather, I punish them by destroying the crops. Take a look in source number 2, the Mishnah and Masechta Sota, as you see, it's a Gemara, it's a Braisa brought in Masechta Sanhedrin as well. And the Mishnah says, in the measure that a person measures with it, that's how we measure for him. The measuring device that a person uses, that he uses to measure, that's how he is measured as well. This is a concept that we're probably more familiar with as Mido Keneged Mido. The Mishnah expresses the idea of Mido Keneged Mido, measure for measure, that Hashem deals with people with this idea, in this manner, of midah keneged midah, measure for a measure. And the Gemara, shortly after the Mishnah, says, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, how your Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe used to say, Minayin, how do we know? Shebe midah she'odom moideid ba. That with the measure that a person measures with it, moideidin loy, that's how we measure for him. She'nemar, it says, B'sasa b'shalcha terivena, quotes our Pasuk, the b'sasa b'shalicha terivena, in its measure, b'sasa in its measure, that's how Hashem contends, that's how Hashem punishes the Jewish people, only measure for measure. And before I should explain, the word b'sasa is a combination of the word saw twice. Saw is a measure of volume, so b'sasa is a combination of two times the word saw, so it's a measure for a measure. B'sasa, measure for measure, that's how Hashem contends against, that's how Hashem punishes the Jewish people, measure for measure. And indeed, in this context of this Mishnah Masechta Sota, it's talking about a woman who was suspected of being unfaithful. She secluded herself with a man, and the Mishnah explains that the way we treat her, the way we deal with her, is in this using this idea of b'midah she'adam moideid ba moideidin loy. Based on the way she acted, based on her actions, that's how she is treated. And that's in the context of how a person is punished. But the truth is that I think the more well-known meaning, the well-known more well-known application of the idea of midah keneged midah, a measure for a measure, is in terms of punishment. Hashem punishes midah keneged midah. We know it'll come to Hashem next week's parash in Parashas Bo'era, when we read about the Makos, the 10 plagues. So the Chazal explained to us how the different Makos, how the different plagues correspond to different ways in which the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim, mistreated the Jews. So in when it comes in the realm of punishment, I think that's where we're more familiar with the idea of midah keneged midah, measure for measure. But I'd like to go through a number of other areas as well, a number of other applications which we find the idea of midah keneged midah, and the truth is there's a number of them. So let's start off with the idea of midah keneged midah, which is the shortened form of midah she'adam moided ba moided in loy. It's the same idea, one just a little shorter and easier to say. In the context of punishment, of einship. And Sefer HaChinuch, in mitzvah Kufayin Aleph, happens to be by the mitzvahs of the conduct of a mitzvah. So Sefer HaChinuch talks about this idea, and he clarifies for us that we shouldn't think that when we talk about Hashem, that Hashem does midah keneged midah, measure for measure, that means that, well, if someone punches me, I'll punch him back. And that's what Hashem says, sin against me, I'll do back bad to you. He says, chas v'sholom, that's not how it's meant to be understood. Rather, Sefer HaChinuch says, that Hashem is a meitiv. Hashem does good. Hashem has one interest and one goal, which is to do good for us. Hashem is not interested in doing bad. So Hashem doesn't punish, Hashem doesn't do bad to a person. Rather, so what does it mean when a person or is yisurim, suffering, what does that mean? So Sefer HaChinuch explains that Hashem is always doing good. Hashem is always protecting a person. Hashem is always bestowing good on a person. When a person sins, so then he sort of blocks himself. He makes himself unable to be the recipient of Hashem's goodness and Hashem's kindness. Hashem is constantly showering good upon us. However, we have to be worthy. We have to be able to accept and to receive that good. And when a person sins, so in to the extent that he sinned, he becomes unable to receive that blessing and that goodness from Hashem. Hashem constantly wants to give good, but if a person makes himself unworthy and unable to be the recipient of that good, then he won't get it. Hashem is not punishing him, but Hashem, if he sins, he doesn't merit Hashem's protection. He doesn't merit. He makes himself unable to be the recipient of Hashem's goodness and Hashem's kindness. So a person really does it to himself. If a person sins, then really he's punishing himself, because Hashem constantly wants to bestow good upon the person. If the person sins, he makes himself unable to accept it. And perhaps, the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't speak this out clearly, but perhaps what Sefer HaChinuch is saying is that in the area in which a person sins, that's the area in which he becomes unable to receive the goodness of Hashem. Because if a person sins, in a certain kind of Aveira, so in that area, in that kind of Aveira, he makes himself unfitting, unable to receive the goodness of Hashem, and therefore the appearance is that there's a punishment that corresponds to his sin. But in reality, it's not a punishment that corresponds to his sin. Rather, it's that the person made himself unable and unfit to be the recipient of Hashem's goodness in that area, and therefore, if he's not able to receive Hashem's goodness in that area, it comes out that he has difficulties, he ends up suffering in that area. So, Sefer HaChinuch explains that the idea of midah keneged midah, measure for measure, when it comes to punishment, is actually not an active punishment by Hashem. Rather, Hashem's goodness that applies in that area in which the person sinned is not a person. The person is no longer able to connect it. The person is no longer able to receive it. He no longer has protection in that area to the extent in which he sinned, and therefore the result is that in that same area in which he sinned, he's going to end up suffering. He's going to be lacking the blessing of Hashem, the protection of Hashem in that area. So it'll come out that he'll be punished in that area. That's the explanation of the Sefer HaChinuch. That's in terms of punishment. But we find also that there's midah keneged midah, measure for measure, in reward as well. If we take a look at source number 3 on the bottom of page 1, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says, again, Tanya the Meir, I'm going to the Braisa, the Meir says, B'midosh Adam Moideid, Moidedim Loi. Again, the measurement which what the person uses to measure, that's how we measure him. The Chsiv, again, quotes our Pasuk, B'sas'a B'shalachot T'rivena, that in the measure, in that measure, Hashem contends with the Jewish people, in the measure of their sins, that's the way in which Hashem contends with the Jewish people. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, so Yeshua is asking a question, but without getting too much into what the question is, and why it's a question, what the answer is, but just to bring out what Rabbi Yeshua's assumptions were. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, V'chi efshir lo imarkein, could we say that really Hashem deals with a person, measure for measure? If that would be the case, if a person gives a fistful to a poor person in this world, a person gives tzedakah, a fistful of tzedakah in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu noisein loy meloy oim soy le'olam haba, Hashem gives to him a fistful in olam haba. And Abishua's problem is that the fistful of Hashem seems too great for a person to be able to handle, and that's Abishua's issue. But the point is, it's clear from Abishua that the assumption is that when we talk about measure for measure, midah keneged midah, it applies to reward as well. It's not just in the area of punishment, rather in the area of reward as well. Rabbi Yeshua clearly assumes that if a person gives tzedakah, the amount of tzedakah that a person gives, a fistful of tzedakah, he'll get a fistful of reward in olam haba. So it's clear that the midah keneged midah, measure for measure, it applies to reward as well, not just to punishment. Now the question is why? Why does Hashem deal midah keneged midah? Why does Hashem deal with a person measure for measure, rewards a person measure for measure? There's plenty of good rewards out there. Why specifically does Hashem make it measure for measure? I guess it's hard to measure Olam Hazeh against Olam Haba, exactly how it corresponds. So, in other words, that's a good question. Let's leave it for now. So, we'll go back to Drashos Haran. The Drashos Haran, the next piece of the Drashos Haran, after the one we spoke about before, the Drashos Haran, he says, we find that Hashem told Moshe, if you look at source number 4, that Moshe, again, after Hashem answered Moshe about his concern with his inability to speak properly, so Moshe came with another excuse, so to speak, to Hashem, another request to Hashem, that Hashem shouldn't send him to be the Redeemer of the Jewish people. And Pasuk Yudalit says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe. And he said, "Haloi Aharon Ochicho Halevi." Is it not that Aaron, your brother, the Levi, Yodati, I know, ki daber yidaberu? He's able to speak well. He'll speak on your behalf. Don't worry. The Gam, and also Hinehu Yoytzei Lekrosecha. He's going out towards you, Viroacha, and he'll see you v'somach b'liboy. Says Aaron, your brother, he's going to come out to greet you when you go back to Mitzrayim. He's going to be very happy for you, and he'll work together with you. So don't worry, go take your job, take your mission, go and fulfill it in Mitzrayim. You'll work together with Aaron, he'll be more than happy to work together with you. Chazal tell us that really Aaron became a Navi earlier than Moshe. Aaron had received Nevuah, had received prophecy earlier than Moshe, and indeed that Aaron really at that point at least was a greater Navi than Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Hashem was telling Moshe, despite all that, despite the fact that that Aaron was older than Moshe, that Aaron was greater than Moshe ben Nevuah, so Moshe was concerned, he didn't want to make Aaron feel bad, so Hashem guaranteed Moshe, he told him, that Aaron will come out to greet you, and he'll be happy, V'ruach, I'll see you, V'somach B'libo, he's going to be happy about it, have no concerns that there'll be hard feelings in the heart of Aaron. Aaron will be more than happy that you're the leader, and go work together with him, and things will work out well. And Chazal tell us in source number 5, V'omer Rabbi Miloi says, B'schar v'ruach v'somach b'liboy, in the merit as a reward for the fact that Aaron was able to be happy with Moshe's success, with Moshe's with Moshe's opportunities, opportunity to be the Jewish people. Zochal choshen hamishpat al liboy. What did he merit? What was his reward? His reward was that when he was the Kohen Gadol, he got to wear the breastplate as part of his big day kahuna, as one of the priestly garments. Well, of the Kohen Gadol is the breastplate, the choshen, and because he's happy for Moshe, that's why he merited, he had the reward to have the choshen, to wear the choshen. That's what Chazal tell us in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos. So the Ran asks the question, why? First of all, Aaron, besides the fact that he was Verach of Sanach Beliboy, he was happy for Moshe Rabbeinu. Presumably there were lots of other great things that Aaron did. We know that Aaron was Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom. There were lots of good things that Aaron did. So why do Chazal attribute Aaron's privilege to wear the Choshen to the fact that it was Veroach of Sanach Beliboy, that he was happy for Moshe Rabbeinu? That's first of all. And second of all, why was this the reward that was chosen for this good deed? This good deed that he was happy for Moshe, why is the reward specifically that, why was it specifically that he got to wear the Choshen? So the Ran says that it was actually this correspondence of this good deed to this reward is actually a result of Mida Keneged Mida. It was measure for measure. How so? So the Ran explains. When we talk about the Choshen, the privilege of the Choshen, the Ran explains what Chazal mean, that we don't, it's not specifically referring to the Choshen itself. Rather, the Choshen contained within it the Urim V'tumim. The Choshen contained within it these special
stones.
I don't think the Urim V'tumim. Well, those were the stones, but inside the Choshen itself, there was little pieces of whatever, which said whatever they said on them. And those, through that, they were able, if there was a question that they needed to ask of Hashem, they could ask Hashem through the Urim V'tumim. The way it worked exactly, the stones of the Choshen would light up with the answer, without getting into all the details and the technicalities of how it worked, but the Choshen, with the Urim V'tumim that were contained within it, had the ability to tell the future, to give messages to Klal Yisrael about how to proceed, about how to conduct themselves. So the Ran suggests that's actually, when we talk about Aaron, he merited to wear the Choshen, what we're actually referring to is the Urim V'tumim that were contained within the Choshen. And the Ran says that really it's a bit strange that the Kohen Gadol was the one who had the Urim V'tumim. He had the Urim V'tumim, which had the ability to tell the future. It's strange that the Kohen Gadol was the one who wore them. Why? Because we know the Jewish people, there are different roles for different people. The Navi is the one who's supposed to give messages about the future to the Jewish people. The Kohen Gadol is the leader of the Jewish people when it comes to Avodah, when it comes to serving Hashem. Each person has his own role. Right? There's the Rav has his job, and there's the Shochet, and the Moyel, and everyone has their jobs, and everyone does their job faithfully, and everything runs smoothly. Yet here we find that we have the Kohen Gadol, who's really supposed to be the pillar of Avodah, of the service of Hashem. All of a sudden we find things a little bit mixed up, and he has the Urim V'tumim, which tells the future, which would seem to be something that should be in the realm of the Navi, of the Prophet. So the Ran says that that's precisely the idea over here. Aaron HaKoyen, he was the bigger Navi. He was the older brother. And yet, he was able to be happy with the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the Navi of Klal Yisrael, the leader of Klal Yisrael. Even though really it would be more appropriate, Aaron should have been the one to be chosen as the leader. He was older, and he was the bigger Navi. Despite the fact that he was more deserving, that privilege was still given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron was able to be happy about that. So therefore Hashem says, as a reward for that, I will give you the ability to have the Choshen with Urim V'tumim. So even though really it's not fitting for you, it's more deserving that the Navi, the prophet, should be the one with Urim V'tumim, to be able to tell the future, to relay the messages, to the will of Hashem to the Jewish people. Despite that, Hashem says, since you were willing to look past the fact that Moshe was given something that you were more deserving of, therefore I will give you something that really the Navi is more deserving of. The Navi is more deserving of the Urim V'tumim. I'll give you what really would be more appropriate for the Navi to have, in the merit of the fact that you were willing to accept that Moshe was given what really you are more deserving of. And the Ran explains that the reason why Hashem conducts himself like this is really as a favor to us. And the reason is because Hashem wants us to recognize when we see things occurring in the world, Hashem wants us to be able to have recognition and appreciation of why things happen. We don't always understand what things why things happen, but sometimes Hashem is able to give us a glimpse. And if a person does a mitzvah, a person does something good, and Hashem rewards him in a way that corresponds to that, it makes it clear. We see the cause and effect. We see the good deed and the reward when they match up to each other, when they correspond to each other. It's easier to see the hashkocha of Hashem, the way Hashem is running the world, the way in which Hashem rewards a good deed, and also so too when it comes to punishment. When a person is able to see that a person sinned and that they're punished in a way that corresponds to that, mido keneged mido, measure for measure, it's easier for a person then to recognize and appreciate that Hashem runs the world, and that Hashem rewards and punishes the person, and it gives us the ability to see more clearly, to recognize it and appreciate it. And that's how the Ran explains why Hashem works with mida keneged mida, measure for measure, to give us the ability to recognize and appreciate how things correspond to each other, how that there's to see clearly that there's punishment and there's reward in the world. So those are the first two applications of the idea of mida keneged mida, measure for measure, in punishment and in reward. But there's more than that. Mida keneged mida applies as well to the midos, the character traits of a person. When a person conducts himself in a certain manner, in a certain proper way, then Hashem helps the person develop that his nature should follow that way in which he conducts himself. And the Ramban writes this, and the Ramban was actually a very prolific author. He writes a sefer called Ha'emunah v'Habitachon. And in the beginning of the 15th perek of the Ramban sefer Ha'emunah v'Habitachon, the Ramban talks about the midos that were given to each of the avos. We know Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each excelled, each one was the pillar of a certain midah. Avraham was midas hachesed, kindness. Yitzchak Avinu was pachad, or gvura, was strength, or awe. And Yaakov Avinu was excelled in emes, in truth. And he says it was not a coincidence that each of them was granted their specific midah for them to excel in. He says that based on the principle of the midah sh'odam moideid ba moideidin loy, that the measure in which that a person uses is the measure that's used for him, Avram, who excelled in chesed on his own, vayita eshel b'v'esheva, the pasuk says that Avram planted an eshel b'v'esheva. What does that mean? Chazal explains that eshel, aleph shin lamed, stands for achilo, shtiyo, and lino. He provided for people food and drink, a place to sleep. Avram was constantly running after opportunities of chesed through kindness with people. So therefore, Hashem said, measure for measure, you devote yourself to acts of kindness, I will make you the pillar of kindness, I will make your nature to be a person who excels in kindness, you will be the pillar of kindness for the world. You are the Amud HaChesed, the pillar, the pillar of kindness. If you conduct yourself with kindness, Hashem makes you into a person of kindness. And the same applies to Yitzchak. Yitzchak had perhaps the greatest test a person could ever have. Yitzchak was told by his father Avram that Hashem wanted him to be sacrificed as a korban on the Mizbeach. And Yitzchak had to overcome his nature. The nature of a person is to resist anyone doing harm to him. But Yitzchak Avinu had to overcome his nature because of his pachad, because of his awe of Hashem, to overcome his nature and subdue himself, allow himself to be sacrificed by Avram. Yitzchak conducted himself with gvura, with the strength to overcome his nature, with pachad. He showed his awe of Hashem. Therefore, Yitzchak was granted by Hashem, mido keneged mido, measure for measure, Yitzchak was granted the ability to be the amud ha-gvura, the amud ha-pachad, to be the paradigm of gvura, of strength, of might, and pachad, and awe. Yaakov as well. Yaakov showed great emes. The example that the Ramban uses is that Yaakov told Hashem before he went to Laban's house on the way after the dream with the ladder. He says, "V'chol asher titen li aser asrenu loch. Whatever you give to me, I will give a tenth to you. I will tithe it, and give you Hashem a tenth. And Yaakov was made sure to fulfill that. The Ramban explains that Yaakov went so far as to even give a tenth of his children to Hashem. How is that? It's just interesting to say it over quickly. He makes the calculation like this. He says Yaakov had 12 sons. And then we know that last week's parasha we're told that Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Yosef, Keruven and Shimon Yehuli, that they'll also be considered Shvatim just like Reuven and Shimon. So that makes 14. So he says Ramban like this, the four sons who were Bechoyer, firstborns to their mother, so they're not counted in this calculation because they're already sanctified. By virtue of being the firstborn, they're already sanctified. So something that's sanctified doesn't get sanctified again. So therefore, they're not part of the calculation. So therefore, we're left with 10. So of the 10 who are remaining, Yaakov gave over his son Levi to be dedicated to Hashem. V'chol asher titen li, everything that you give me, aser asvenu lach Hashem, I'll give you a tenth back. Yaakov gave over his son Levi to be dedicated to Hashem. Yet Levi doesn't have a portion there; it's his own portion there. It's Israel. He's completely devoted and given over to the avodah of Hashem. See, Yaakov excelled in the midah of Emes, and in return, midah k'neged midah, measure for measure, Hashem made Yaakov into the paradigm of Emes, of honesty and truth. That's what he measured to be, because he, from his end, he was already an ish Emes, a truthful, honest person, and therefore he merited to have the midah of Emes. And that's not something that's limited to the Avos. Every person, if a person strives to excel in a certain area, we're guaranteed by Chazal, b'midah she'odom moided ba moided in loy. If you show that you are dedicated, you put yourself out to excel in a certain midah, then Hashem will give you the ability to continue to excel, to grow further and further in that midah, and you can excel in it and grow and become a godly, you can become a godly in that midah. You can become a really an important part of Klal Yisrael to be a leader in that midah. That's the third application of midah k'neged midah. There's more. Midah k'neged midah also applies to the way in which Hashem conducts Himself with us. In what way? Actually, in two ways. The Altif and Kelm gives one application of how the way in which we conduct ourselves towards Hashem, Hashem will in turn conduct Himself towards us. The Altif and Kelm deals with the very famous, well-known question that really every person has to ask. And that's the question of why do we have to daven? Why do you have to daven? Hashem knows what we need. We have to go and tell Hashem. If a person needs parnasa, he needs to go say, Baruch Aleinu, Hashem, I need parnasa, please give me parnasa. Hashem knows what we need. If a person, Chas v'Shalom, has a relative who's not well, who needs a refuah, he needs to go to Hashem and say, please heal the person. Hashem knows that the person needs to be healed. So why do we daven? It says a lot, many different answers to this question. And the Altif and Kelm suggests the following answer. He said, again, like we mentioned before, Hashem desires to deal with us kindly, with kindness and compassion, to bestow blessing upon us. However, if a person sins, then the way Hashem set up the world is that if a person sins, there are consequences. There are consequences. However, Hashem has the ability to, so to speak, overcome and override His anger towards the Jewish people, and to hold it back, to hold back His anger, and to hold back punishment from the Jewish people. It's a Gemara in Brachos, a very cryptic Gemara in Brachos, in which Hashem tells Yishmael Kohen Gadol, He tells him Borcheini. Hashem asks Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, to give him a bracha. And so, what's the bracha that he gives? Your mercy should override, it should suppress your anger. Whatever anger you have against the Jewish people, your mercy should suppress it. In other words, Hashem wants to do good for the Jewish people, but sometimes a person sins, there has to be consequences. Your mercy should be able to suppress your anger. So says the Altif and Kelm, that a person, when it comes to davening, this is nothing I need to tell you about. Everyone person knows this on his own. When it comes to davening, it's difficult. It's difficult to focus, to concentrate on the davening. I've said over a number of times, I don't remember, I think it's the Reikeach, one of the Rishonim, he says that the greatest challenge that a person has every day is davening. Greatest challenge. To daven, to focus, to concentrate on the davening, it's a big challenge, especially with our busy lives, where we're always, we're never disconnected. So there's always things on a person's mind. I have to remember to call this one, I have to remember to email that one, I have to send this one a message, I have to check this out on the website, I have to Google this to find out about that. Person's constantly always busy, there's always things that a person has to do. And then Chazal talk about, in the times of the Gemara, that Mincha was always a challenge, because Mincha was the middle of the day. So Mincha was challenging in the middle of doing things. But it sounds like Shacharis and Ma'ariv, they wasn't such a big deal. Shacharis, nothing really got started yet. You didn't wake up and have to check your email. At night, when the day was over, it was over. That's it. You were done. So it seems that it wasn't as great a challenge. But in today's day and age, Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, always, Musaf, Shabbos, Yom Tov, we're always thinking and about the different things that we have to do, that we should have done, that we could do. We're always very busy, and focusing, concentrating on davening is a great challenge. Says the Alter Rebbe, if you are able to suppress that tendency to be distracted, that tendency to daydream and to think about other things during davening, if you could suppress that inclination, you suppress your nature to focus and concentrate on davening for as long as it takes, not very long. If you're able to do that, Hashem says, you suppressed your inclination, you suppressed your nature in order to be able to daven properly to me. Hashem says, in return, I'll suppress my anger to deal with you with kindness and with compassion. The way in which a person conducts himself towards Hashem, mido keneged mido, measure for measure, Hashem conducts himself towards the person in the same way. If you're able to overcome your challenges, you're able to overcome your tendencies to be able to serve Hashem properly, to daven properly, to do other things properly, then Hashem says, in return, I'll suppress my anger, I'll suppress my, so to speak, my nature, that I should be angry at you, I'll suppress it, and I'll have mercy and compassion, I'll deal with you favorably. That says, the Alter Rebbe, that's the reason why we daven. Hashem knows what we need anyway. But the idea is to be able to show Hashem that we can act in a way that we could suppress our nature, we could suppress our inclination to be distracted during davening. When we do that, and in turn, Hashem will deal with us with kindness and compassion by suppressing His anger that He should have towards us. That's, what number are we up to? That's the fourth application of Mida Keneged Mida. And one more. One more. Michtam Elio writes that there's another way in which the way we conduct ourselves determines how Hashem deals with us. He says, the language that he uses, that every person is a judge in the heavenly court. How so? Rav Dessler writes that the way in which a person conducts himself, the way in which a person shows through his conduct in this world that things should be, that's the way when Hashem judges him, that's the, also Hashem will use the same guidelines in judging the person. And the example that he uses, the person's a baal gaiva, person's haughty, and he thinks that people who are smaller than me, people who are not as wealthy as me, people who are not as smart as me, they shouldn't be able to be in my presence, they don't deserve to be dealt with kindness and compassion. A person, if he's approached by a person who's coming to collect tzedakah, he's not very kind or compassionate to them. Maybe if they're lucky, he'll actually take some money out and give it to them, but with coldness and without much concern. If a person is as a gaiva, a person is haughty like that, Hashem says, "Oh, that you've decided that people who are smaller than you should be dealt with like that." So okay, when it comes, so therefore when you come and do your judgment, Alachem of Esther, after 120 years or whenever the judgment will be, Hashem says those will be the guidelines in your judgment as well. And if you decided that the way things should be run is that people who are smaller are dealt with as inferior, okay, so we'll judge you like that as well. If perhaps we'll find you to be inferior, and maybe we'll deal with you like that as well. And if you're found to be smaller and insignificant, we'll deal with you as inferior as well. Perhaps another example would be when it comes to Dan Lekaf Schus, judging people favorably. So if a person judges other people favorably, so Hashem says, oh, I see that you have that in your mind, that your conduct is that you judge other people favorably. You see something that another person does, and it could be perceived as good or not so good, and you try to see the good in it, try to see it as being good. Hashem says, when it comes time to judge you as well, we'll use those same guidelines, and we'll also, if there's things that you do that can be seen in a positive light or a negative light, we'll judge you favorably and positively. If Chas v'Shalom, it's the opposite way, a person doesn't judge others favorably, so then so too, those same guidelines will be used when a person himself is judged. Midah k'neged midah, midah sh'adam moideid ba, moideid in loy. Whatever measuring stick you use, you judge people by their wealth, judge people by their intelligence, that's how you'll be judged as well. You judge people favorably, you'll also be judged favorably. You don't judge other people favorably, you won't be judged favorably. So what we see is that this idea of midah k'neged midah, measure for measure, it's actually a very broad concept, a very broad idea that applies to many different areas throughout our lives, whether it's reward or punishment or our character traits, comes to the way that we conduct ourselves towards Hashem and towards others. It all comes back in the way that Hashem deals with us. And like the Ran explains to us, the idea is to be able to see, to be able to recognize from it the ways of Hashem, that Hashem is constantly running the world and all the good that Hashem does, and when Hashem has to give punishment and reward, to see clearly through the Midah K'neged Midah. It's a tool that, it's something that comes up in many, many areas of life, and as the Ran explains to us, it's a tool that we can use to be able to see clearly the Hashgacha, Hashem's control of the world, the way in which Hashem runs the world. Let's move on a little further. Source number 6 on the source sheet. So Hashem says, because I deal with the Jewish people favorably, because I don't get angry at the Jewish people, Lochein, therefore, Bezois Yichupar Avoin Yaakov, therefore, with this will be atoned the sin of Yaakov. The sin, primarily, the primary sin that's referred to here is the sin of Avodah Zarah, as we'll see shortly, the sin of idolatry. And since I have compassion on the Jewish people, so all I'm going to require from them to atone for their sins, and this, the fruit, the result of this, will be that all of his other sins as well will also be removed. What do they have to do? What is it that they have to do to be atoned for their primary sin, which as a result will remove all their other sins as well? Besumoy kol avnei mizbeach, when they place all the stones of their altar, ke'avnei gir, like chalk stones, minu patzais, that are ground up. When they destroy and they grind up all of their altars, lo yokumu asherim v'chamonim, and they will no longer stand. The asherim are the trees of idolatry. The chamonim are sun idols that to the sun. Says the Navi Yeshayo to the Jewish people, that what does Hashem ask for to in order to atone for their sins? Is that to do is destroy, completely eradicate the idolatry, destroy the altars, destroy the tree idols, destroy the sun idols, completely destroy them and eradicate them in such a way that lo yakumu, they'll never come back. Eradicate and not, don't only remove the idols themselves, but remove from your heart, remove from your essence any connection, any possibility of returning, of coming back to serving those idols. Destroy the idols, but not only the idols which represent your feelings in your heart, but also remove any feelings in your heart, any inclination in your heart towards Avodah Zarah. You have to completely eradicate it and move away from it, and with that your sins will be atoned. And not only that, the fruit, the result of that will be that you remove all your sins. If you're able to eradicate Avodah Zarah completely from your heart, then you'll remove all your other sins as well. I believe I saw one of the Mefarshim says that the truth is that there's all of our sins, all of a person's sins, come from some element of Avodah Zarah that's in a person's heart. Now, it might not be bowing down to idols, but there's all sorts of Avodah Zarahs. There's Avodah Zarah of money, people worship money, so on and so forth, all different things that people worship. in some way, perhaps it's not as intense as the way people, in which people serve the Avodah Zarah, but the way that the Avodah that a person does all come about from some element, some remnant of Avodah Zarah is in the heart of the person, some concept or some idea or ideal that a person follows after that leads him to do Avodah, whether it's money or whatever else it might be. There's some element of a desire of idolatry in the heart of a person which draws him to do Avodah. And if a person can completely eradicate that from in his heart, that'll be hosir chatosoy. That'll be able to enable him to eradicate all sin. The Novi continues in Pasuk Yod that if the Avodah Zarah are not destroyed and they're not eradicated, Ki'ir Bitsura, the fortified city, Bodod, will be in solitude, Nove Meshulach Vinezov Kamidbar. Nove, the dwelling place, Meshulach Vinezov Kamidbar, will be forsaken and abandoned like the desert. Shom Yire Egel, there it'll be abandoned, there'll be no people there. So therefore the Egel, the young calf, will come to graze there. Vishom Yirbots, he'll be able to sit down and rest there, no one will be chasing him away. Vichilosi Ifel, will consume all the branches. If the Avodah Zarah is not eradicated from your midst, says the Navi to the Jewish people, then you'll be exiled, the city will be empty, and it'll be left for the calves, for the animals to come and eat and rest here. Bivoish Kitsira Tishovarna, when its branches dry out, they'll be broken. It says the Navi to the Jewish people that when the time comes, if the sins, if you don't repent from your sins, and you don't straighten out your ways, then when the time comes that Hashem has decided that it's too much, then you'll, on your own, you'll fall away on your own. When the time comes for the Jewish people to be punished, then they'll fall on their own. When its branches dry out, they'll break on their own. When it comes time for the Jewish people to be punished, then they'll just fall apart on their own. Noshim bo'is mi'irois oisa. Literally, women will come and burn it down, meaning that Hashem will allow even very weak nations, weak women, nations who are weak like women, will be able to come and destroy the city. There'll be no protection. Why? Kiloi am binois hu, because they're not a nation of understanding. Therefore, its maker, the maker, will not have mercy on it. And its former, the former of the nation, will not be gracious towards it. Hashem says, listen, if you're not getting the message, I sent my Nevi'im to give you messages, so you're not getting the message, you're not understanding, it's not coming through. So then Hashem says, if that's the case, I will not have mercy on you, I will not be gracious to you, I have no choice but to exile you, to send you away and to punish you. If you're not going to be able to rid yourselves of the Avodah Zarah, then I have no choice but ki'ir b'tzura bodod, that the fortified city will be empty, you'll be exiled, you have to be punished for your sins. And it's an interesting Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Take a look at source number 7 on page 3. The Gemara learns from this pasuk, the chol mi she'ein boy deya osel rachim olav. The Gemara says a very cryptic statement. Any person who doesn't have deya, doesn't have, let's call it wisdom, knowledge, osel rachim olav. It's prohibited. You're not allowed to have mercy on him. How do we know? Shenamar, the Gemara quotes our pasuk, ki loy am binois hu, al kein lo rachim enu oisayu. We see Hashem says that since this nation, they don't have understanding, they lack knowledge, therefore Hashem says they won't have mercy on them. So too, you have to emulate Hashem, and a person who is ein boy deya, you can't have mercy on him. What does that mean? There are many different explanations and interpretations. The Stipler and the Sefer Birchas Peretz and Sefer and Parshas Bishalach at great length explains that it's talking about a person who lacks hakaras atoiv, lacks, doesn't acknowledge and appreciate the good that people do for him, and he goes through 5 different reasons why it's bad from a practical standpoint to be merciful, to be gracious to a person who lacks hakaras hatov. And there are many other interpretations of this Gemara, and I'd like to suggest my own explanation. And that is based on the words of Rav Dessler. Rav Destin, Michtam Eliyahu, Chilak Aleph, page 13. In the middle of a discussion about the concepts of Zchus Avos, the merits of our forefathers, and Midas HaRachamim, the attribute of mercy, the Rav Destin explains, what's the attribute of mercy, what's it all about? We talk about a Midas HaDin, attribute of judgment, a Midas HaRachamim, attribute of mercy. And Midas HaDin seems correct, seems proper. A person sins, so he needs to be punished. A person does good, he ought to be rewarded. Strict judgment sounds fair. However, Midas HaRachamim, what's that all about? What does it mean we talk about Midas HaRachamim, the attribute of mercy? What does that mean? If a person, right, he says, we have the Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma. If you take a look in source number 8, Gemara in Bava Kamma says, Amar Abchanino says, Kol Oymer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron Hu. Anyone who says that Hashem is a disregarder, that's my own word, Yivatru Chayov. So then his life will be disregarded. Shinamar, it says, Hatzur, Tamim Pa'aloi. Says, Hashem, the Mighty One, Tamim Pa'aloi, his actions, what he does is Tamim, it's complete, it's exactly right. So anyone who says that Hashem disregards sins, Yivatru Chayov, his life will be disregarded. We're not allowed to say that Hashem just lets sins go. Person sinned, Hashem, no problem, disregard it. There's no such thing. The Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma makes that pretty clear. So what's this idea of Midas HaRachamim? And the Michtam of Dessler, he gives a mashal. He says, the judge sitting in front of his courtroom, and he has two defendants in front of him, and they both committed the same crime, they both did the same thing. And now he has to judge them. Now, the judge has no particular interest in punishing anyone. He has no desire to punish anyone. He has one goal, and one goal only. And that is to make sure that these people standing in front of him, these defendants, they don't commit crimes again. That's his one goal. So what does he do? He looks into the records and looks into the history of each of these two people. And one of them he finds comes from a very upstanding family, where his parents and his siblings, they're all upstanding people. They conduct their lives properly. They have a nice, warm, proper home. And the things are stable. Things are good. And the other one he sees comes from a broken home. Perhaps only one parent in the home. Perhaps the child has a difficult childhood. And he's dropped out of school. So on and so forth. So the judge says to himself that I have to deal with these people in two different ways. When it comes to the person who comes from a nice, warm, proper household, who had a proper childhood, a proper upbringing, he went to school, he graduated high school and college. So him, I feel pretty confident, I'll send him back home to his parents. They'll have the proper influence on him. He'll get back to his senses, and he won't commit crimes again. It was a one-time thing. If we send him back to the proper influence, he'll have the proper environment, the proper surroundings to get back on track, conduct himself properly. I don't feel it necessary to send him to jail to punish him. I'll send him back to his family, and he'll do fine there. The other fellow comes from a broken home. He never graduated school. The judge says about him, for him, I can't send him back. If I send him back, he'll end up committing crimes again. He'll end up going back to a life of crime. He doesn't have the proper influences. He doesn't have a good, warm environment to be able to influence him in the proper ways. And so therefore, the judge will deal with these people in two different ways. And says of Dessler, that's how Hashem judges people as well. If Hashem looks at a person and he sees that the person could improve himself, that the person has the ability to do tshuva, that he's in a good place to be able to improve on his own without any punishment, without any strong pushes or nudges. The person's able to improve himself on his own, come back to his senses, repent from his sins, and head back onto the right track. Then Hashem says, such a person, I don't need punishments. He'll come back to himself, he'll do tshuva, and things will be fine. He'll rectify his situation. But if a person is not inclined to do tshuva, if a person Hashem sees with his ability to understand people and to know what's happening in people's minds and people's hearts, Hashem sees a person who he's not likely to do tshuva, then for that person Hashem says, I have no choice but to send him strong messages through punishments, through pain, yisurim, and suffering, to send across the message, to force him to improve his ways, to become better. So Rav Dassler says, that's the ideal. Really, every way that we see that Hashem deals with a person really has within it Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachman. Any way in which Hashem conducts himself with a person will always be, if we check with Midas HaDin and with Midas HaRachman, we'd get the consent of both of them in all situations. If a person is likely to do tshuva, so if check with Midas HaDin, Midas HaDin will say, listen, judgment is only for the purpose of improving people. Mishpat, justice, judgment, it's only for the purpose of improving people. And Midas HaDin will say, I consent. For this person who is likely to improve on his own, with his own inspiration, with his own motivation, for him, I agree. I'm 100% willing to sign off on having this person not be punished. Because he'll improve himself without it. There's no sense in punishing him. And Midas HaRachamim certainly agrees with that. And when it comes to the person who is not self-motivated, he will not motivate himself, he won't inspire himself, he won't do tshuva on his own. For that person, certainly when we check with the Midas HaDin will certainly say this person needs some sort of punishment. But even the Midas HaRachamim will say, I agree, absolutely, punish this person. This person needs to have pain and to have suffering. You say, Midas HaRachamim, how could you say that? You mean HaRachamim, mercy and compassion. How could you prescribe for this person pain and suffering? The answer is, Midas HaRachamim will tell you, the attribute of mercy says that the real mercy for this person is to get the message across once and for all. He'll get the message across, he'll finally turn his life around, and he won't sin anymore. That's real rachamim, that's real mercy on the person. Real mercy for the person is that he should get the message, he shouldn't sin anymore, that's real mercy. To let him off easy, and he'll keep on sinning, that's mercy. Midas HaRachamim says, for a person who won't do tshuva on his own, the best thing is for Hashem to send the message with pain, with suffering, with whatever it takes to motivate the person to do tshuva. So perhaps, if we go back to the Gemara, Maseches Brachos, the Gemara says, that kol mi she'ein boideya, also the rachim olav. So what does it mean, he's ein boideya? Perhaps ein boideya means a person who doesn't have the ability to recognize, to see things as they come from Hashem. A person who, every time something comes up, he attributes it to nature, he attributes it to coincidence, so on and so forth. He's always making excuses to explain why things happen. He doesn't have the deya, he doesn't have the wisdom, the knowledge to attribute things that happen in his life, to understand that they're coming from Hashem. For such a person, also the rachim olav, you can't have mercy on him. To have mercy on such a person is really axorious, it's really cruelty. Such a person, Hashem is sending him messages because he needs those messages. He needs it to motivate him. He needs him to push him to improve himself and to become better. And without that, he'll keep on his path of sin, and he'll get worse and worse and worse. So a person called Mishain Baideya, a person who you see that Hashem sends him messages, and he doesn't understand that he doesn't get the message, Asil Rachim Olav. You can't do to him what you think is merciful. You can't be kind to him. If there's a person who's Yesh Baideya, he understands what's going on. And sometimes the person who's not necessarily a sinner, Hashem gives them pain and suffering also for whatever reasons Hashem does it. So for that person, certainly, you should have rachmanis on him, have mercy on such a person. He's yesh b'ideya, he's thought out, he makes the calculations, he tries to figure out what Hashem might be telling him. For such a person, certainly you should have mercy on him. But if he's ein b'ideya, he doesn't have this knowledge, this wisdom, to understand, to attribute, to try to figure out things that are happening in his life, what messages Hashem might be sending him, also the rachim olav. Don't have mercy on him. If you're being merciful to him, you're being an achzori. You're being cruel to him because he needs to get the message. If you're merciful on him for him, you alleviate his pain and his suffering, then you're undermining Hashem's judgment. You're undermining the message that Hashem's trying to send him that needs to improve and he needs to become better. Therefore, kol mi she'ein boideya, he doesn't have the wisdom, he doesn't understand and perceive the events of his life that are coming from Hashem, for him, you should not have mercy on him. Don't have mercy on him because, ultimately, you're really being cruel to him. You're not allowing him to get the message that Hashem is trying to send him. Let's go on a little further. I'm actually going to skip a little bit what I plan to do because we're kind of running out of time. So I'd like to skip right now to
to source number 11, which is on page 4. And here is where Yishayahu HaNavi begins to admonish the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes in the north of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Hoy, woe, Ateres Geus. The Ateres, the crown of Geus, of haughtiness, Shikaya Ephraim, of those drunkards of Ephraim. The Ephraim, the 10 Shvatim, they were successful, they became affluent, they became wealthy, and because of that, they began to indulge in all sorts of things, in drinking and becoming drunk. So Yishayahu HaNavi says to them, Hoy, woe, Ateres Geus Shikaya Ephraim, the crown of haughtiness of the drunkards of Ephraim, Vitzitz Noivel Tzivi Sefartoi. Vitzitz is something that's growing from the ground. Vitzitz Noivel, a flower or some sort of growth from the ground, Noivel, which is withering, Tzivi Sefartoi, is his the Tzvi. I believe the Mefarshim explained that Tzvi means, is referring to the pride, Sefartoi, of his glory, Asher al roish gei shemonim halume yoyim, which is on the head of gei shemonim, with there's furrows of filled with oil, halume yoyim, they're smitten with by wine. That the Novi Yishayahu is admonishing the people of Ephraim for their haughtiness, because of their wealth, because they anoint themselves with all sorts of oils, they drink wine, they become drunk, and they have this pride because of that, because of their wealth, because of their affluence. They become haughty, and they have a pride which has led to their downfall. And this Ateres Geus, the crown of their haughtiness, is what leads to their downfall. It's Tzitz Noivel, because of that it's a withering flower, the Tzvi Sefartoi. In other words, it's leading them towards bad things. This, their success, has ultimately led to their downfall. And he says to them, Hine Chozok Ve'amitz LaHashem. Behold, his strength and might to Hashem, kizered boro, kizerem boro, like a stream of hail, sar kotev, like a destructive wind, kizerem mayim kabirim shoitvim, like the flow of strong, mighty rush of water, hiniach lo'oret biyod, that Hashem will send down to earth, to the land, biyod, by hand, or directly with might. Hashem sends down their crown of, will send down their crown of haughtiness. In other words, that Pasuk Aleph addresses this crown of glory, and those their haughtiness, their wealth, and their success. The Navi Yishayahu says in Pasuk Beis that Hashem, with his great might and strength, will throw that down to the ground. In other words, he'll take away all of that success and all of that pride of the people of Ephraim. From their success and their wealth, Hashem will throw it down to the ground with great strength and might. Hashem will exile them and send them away, and that'll be the end of their haughtiness, of their pride, which is a result of their success. Biraglayim teiro masno ateres geul shikoy Ephraim. Not only will Hashem throw that pride, that crown of glory of theirs to the ground, but biraglayim teiro masno, it'll be trampled by the feet. Ateres Geus Shikari Ephraim, that crown of haughtiness, of glory, of the drunkards of Ephraim. V'hoisa Tzitzas Noivel Tzvi Sefartoi Asher Al Roish Gei Shemonim, and that crown and that headpiece of glory and of pride, which is on the head, which is again with Gei Shemonim, is a furrows full of oil. In other words, that they're anointed with oil. What will it be? It will be Kivikura B'terem Kai. It's like a fig that ripened in the beginning of the summer. Asher yireh haroya oisa, the one who sees it will see it, be'oido v'chapo yivlo'eno, while still in his hand, he'll eat it right away. He sees it, he takes it off the tree, and he eats it right away. He can't resist. So too, the punishment of the shikari Ephraim, these drunkards of Ephraim, will be that they'll fall into the hands of their enemies, and these riches, their wealth, which is their success that they're so proud of, will immediately, right away, the enemy won't wait, they'll plunder it all right away, even before they exile them, they'll plunder all their wealth and all of their possessions immediately. So the Navi prophesizes about the downfall of Ephraim. He so talks about the fact that Ephraim, because of their success, because of their affluence, they became haughty and they indulge in all sorts of different pleasures of the world. And says the Navi that Hashem will bring them down. Hashem will bring them down in a very strong and emphatic way. And not only that, they'll be trampled, they'll be destroyed in a very extreme manner, and all their wealth will be plundered by the enemies. And Hashem continues, Bayoimahu, at that time when Ephraim is exiled, Yi Hashem Tzivoko Yisla Teres Tzvi V'tzfiras Atifaro L'sharamoy. So at that time Hashem will be for a crown of pride and for a headpiece of splendor for the remainder of his nation, for Yehuda and Binyamin, who remain in Eretz Yisrael after the 10 tribes will be exiled. So Hashem will then, he'll be a crown of pride and of glory for them. In other words, they'll recognize Hashem. Hashem's sovereignty over the world will be recognized through them at that point. It'll be already a few years into the kingdom of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a tzaddik, a great king who led perhaps the greatest tshuva movement in the history of the Jewish people, in which he brought all the people back to Torah and mitzvahs. So at that point, Hashem will be a crown of splendor for the Jewish people. Hashem will be recognized, his greatness will be recognized through them. Uluruach mishpat, and for a spirit of justice and judgment, like Yoshev al mishpat, to the one who sits in judgment. Again, this is a reference to Chizkiyahu HaMelech himself. Chizkiyahu HaMelech himself, that he will do judgment properly and fairly in the proper way. So Hashem will be a spirit of judgment to him. V'legvuran, for strength, mishivei mulchama, those who return from the war, shara, to the gate. So Hashem will be a source of strength for the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin who are left in Eretz Yisrael, that even without, they'll be able to return to the gate without fighting even the war. Hashem will destroy Sancheirev and the army of Ashur without the Jewish people having to fight at all. Hashem will take care of business for them. So the contrast between the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, and Yehuda and Binyamin in the southern kingdom, Yishayahu HaNavi points out that Ephraim, through his haughtiness and through his affluence that has brought him to indulge in all sorts of pleasures of the world, he'll be trampled. Hashem will throw him down and trample them. They'll be exiled and plundered. And at that time, Yehuda and Binyamin will shine. That Hashem's greatness will be recognized through them. They will serve Hashem. They'll be led by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who will judge properly. And Hashem's greatness will be recognized through them, and they'll be successful in war as well. The Gemara Maseches Megillah and Maseches Sanhedrin darshins these psukim about the Asid Lavoi. If you take a look quickly in source number 12, the Omer Abelozer and Rab Chanino. Abelozer says, the name of Rab Chanino, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyaisa Torah B'Roish Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik. In the future, in the time of the ultimate redemption, Hashem will be a crown on the head of every righteous person. Shenamar, it says, Bayoimahu, on that day, which according to the Joshua is referring to the times of Mashiach, Yihya Hashem Tzivoko Yisla Teres Tzvi. Hashem will be a crown of glory. Maila Teres Tzvi V'Tzviras Tefara. The Gemara Darshan, what does it mean? Hashem will be La Teres Tzvi V'Tzviras Tefara, a crown of glory and a headpiece of splendor. It means La Oisin Tzivyoinoi. Teres Tzvi, the Gemara Darshans, for those who do Tzivyoinoi, the word Tzvi can mean will, mean the Ratzah in the will. Those who do the will of Hashem, Hashem will be an Ateres, a crown for them. Ulimitzapin Tefartoi. And those for a Mitzapah, they hope for Tefartoi, his splendor. For those who do the will of Hashem and hope for Hashem's splendor, Hashem will be a crown of glory for them. The Ben Yoyada explains that Loisin Tzivyoinoi means they do his will, they do the will of Hashem, meaning that they do the mitzvah, it's not because it's in society it's the proper thing to do, or because it's the proper thing to do as because morally. Rather, they do Loisin Tzivyoinoi, they do the will of Hashem because it's the will of Hashem, not for any other reason. When it's happened to Faratoy, one of the Mepharshim says, the ones who hope for his splendor, they do mitzvahs not to get rewarded. Rather, they do mitzvahs in order to rectify the world, to bring about the coming of Mashiach, to bring about the splendor of Hashem, but the perfection of the world. So Yochel HaKol, one might think that for any person who does mitzvahs, any person who follows the ways of Hashem, Hashem will be a crown of glory for them. Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk continues, L'Shar Amoy. right, for the remnant of his nation. What does that mean? Lemishim meisim atzmi kishirayim. For a person who makes himself like leftovers, a person who considers himself insignificant. Only for a person who will not become haughty from the reward that Hashem gives him, such a person, that's who Hashem will be an atara, a crown for his head. Uluach mishpat, and for a spirit of judgment, zeh adonis yitzroi. That's someone who judges his Yetzirah, meaning he forces his Yetzirah to repent. Well, the Yeshiva al mishpat, the Gemara says, someone who sits in judgment, zeh adon din emes la'amito, is someone who judges a real, true, act, honest judgment. Well, the Gvura, zeh misgaber al yitzroi, this is someone who is able to, misgaber al yitzroi, is able to overcome his Yetzirah. Mishive milchama, those who return from battle, shenoisin v'noisin v'milchamta shal Torah. Who those who back and forth that they discuss, they're involved in discussion in the war of Torah. Those who go in the war of Torah. Just one last idea, one last point I wanted to mention, which I think is a very important idea, is what the Chafetz Chaim, also a very prolific author, he writes in his sefer Dovar Be'itai. What he writes based on this pasuk, he's talking about the sefer Dovar Be'itai was. The theme of the Sefer is to inspire people and to give people chizuk and strength to keep kashrus. It wasn't so easy in the times of Chafetz Chaim, perhaps, to keep kashrus properly. And the idea of the Sefer is for people to keep kashrus properly. And then Chafetz Chaim writes, I'll read it to you just because you should, don't think that I'm exaggerating this at all. Gam yeda, a person should know, sha'avur zeh shemisgaber al yitzroi. That if a person overcomes the Yetzer Hara, afiluim hu ish pashut she'einoi Talmud Chacham, even if he's a simple person, he's not a big rav, he's not a big Talmud Chacham, he's not a scholar, a simple person. Yizkeh li yois or Hashem atoro b'roi shel osavavoy. He will merit the Hashem, the light of Hashem will be a crown over his head in the future. K'moy al g'doylei atoro. Just like the great leaders, just like the great Torah leaders, just like Rav Shach, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Steinman, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, whoever you like, insert your name here, whoever you like, the Gedolei HaTorah, a person, a simple person, who's Misgaber Al Yitzroi, who overcomes the Yetzer Hara, he will merit to have the light of Hashem as a crown of glory for his head, Los Vavli. Ukumay Shamru Chazal, he quotes the Gemara that we just read. Then also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yais HaTorah, Baruch Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik, and he quotes the Gemaras. I'm just going to skip to the bottom line. He says that we see from the juxtaposition, right? If we go back to the papers, right, we saw the right at the end of page 5, beginning of page 6, he says the gvura zemisgaber al yitzroi. And again, we're talking about the people who Hashem is going to be at Torah, a crown on their head, is gaber al yitzroi, someone who's able to overpower his yitzroi hara. Mishive milchama are those who are involved in the discussion and the debate of in the war of Torah, the debates of Torah, of Torah learning. We see from here, from this Gemara, says the Chofetz Chaim, that a Mizgaber al Yitzroi, someone who overpowers the Yitzhara, Zoiche, he merits La'atara, the crown of Hashem, Kemoi Talmidi Chachomim, Shemashkimin, Umarivim Votim Droshis. Just the same, exactly the same as Talmidi Chachomim, who wake up early and stay late in the Beis Medrash, and they debate the Torah topics. A person, a simple person, again, I'll read the words of Chofetz Chaim again. Ish pashut she'en a Talmud Chacham. A simple person, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, if he overpowers the Yetzer Hara, he merits la'asid lavoi, which is really, that's what it's all about. It's not about the Olam Hazeh, it's la'asid lavoi. He'll merit to the same atara b'roishoi, the same crown on his head, the same crown of glory of Hashem on his head as the Talmud Chacham. So even if a person is not the biggest Talmud Chacham, every person has the ability, through being misgaber al Yitzroi, overpowering his Yitzhara, to merit the great reward of the Hashem should be in Atara Baroshe and Lasid Lavoi. We should all strive for that and should be zoichet to see soon in our days. Thank you.